Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and our Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today, the prophet Jonah and the psalmist who wrote Psalm 145 have some powerfully good news to share with us. They both declare that the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, to which we can only respond, Amen. Thanks be to God. Because our God is truly gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Now, Lutherans have always claimed that our God is a gracious God. Martin Luther, when wrestling with his own faith, discovered this to be very true when he studied the New Testament, especially when Luther read Paul's letters to the Romans, the Galatians, and the Ephesians. He kept running into this idea of grace, that our God is a gracious God, that our God freely offers us his grace through trusting in Jesus Christ. And it is through trusting in Jesus that we are made acceptable in God's sight. This insight that we are made right with God through trusting in Jesus and not by our own good works radically changed Martin Luther's life forever, and with good reason. A focus on grace can not only change our perspective and our attitude, but also our eternal destiny. For a little bit of joy in your life, when you wake up in the morning, rather than complaining about what you don't have, start with the grace of God. Start with what he's already done that you don't deserve in the first place. As the old song says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So my advice is for all of us to open our hearts daily and allow us to be surprised by the gracious love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then share that love with those we meet that day. Because God's grace is very surprising. Today, Jesus tells us a parable with a surprise ending. Jesus tells us about a generous landowner who owned this vineyard, and he went out early in the morning to look to hire laborers to work in his vineyard. And the workers and he come to agree on their terms of their employment, and then the landowner sends them out to work in his vineyard. And then periodically throughout the day, the landowner goes back out to the marketplace and hires still more workers. He went out first early in the morning, and then we're told he goes back at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 5 p.m., hiring those who were waiting to be hired. Now, I've seen pictures of folks that still do this in order to make a living here in the United States. Maybe not right here in Minnesota, perhaps, but in other parts of the United States, they do. What I'm describing is this. Migrant workers will show up with their work gloves and hang out in the parking lot of a Home Depot. And they will wait there until someone with a pickup truck pulls up, agrees to hire them for that day, and then they hop into the back of that pickup truck and off they go to work. Sometimes men will wait all day in the parking lot hoping that someone will stop by, pick them up, and give them a chance to work. And if they are still there later on in the day, they are there not because they are lazy. They are there because no one has given them the opportunity to work. That has to be a very hard and very stressful way to make a living and support your family. Hoping, just hoping that someone needs a job to do and that they will choose you to do it. Now, here in the United States, we are known for our good work ethic. In fact, Americans are amongst the hardest working people in the entire world. Americans do work hard. Americans work on average 34.4 hours a week, longer than their counterparts in the world's largest economies. Many work even longer. Adults employed full-time report working on average 47 hours per week, which equates to nearly 6 days a week, according to a Gallup poll from July of 2015. As Americans, we work hard, and we expect to be compensated accordingly. Yet this is not how things turn out in Jesus' parable, is it? In Jesus' parable, the workers who started late in the day got the normal daily wage, which back then was a coin called a denarius. Someone who worked out in the fields all day long earned a denarius. That's the agricultural economy of Jesus' time. So anyone listening to Jesus' story about the laborers who worked in the vineyard would have expected that, hey, if someone put in a solid day's work working out in the fields, they deserved a denarius. The twist comes at the end of Jesus' parable. As the owner of the vineyard settles up with the laborers, he begins with those who started latest in the day. He pays the guys who showed up at 5 p.m. a full day's salary. Well, you can imagine what the guys who showed up early in the morning are thinking, right? They're probably rubbing their hands thinking, oh boy, we've got it made. If this guy pays the Johnny-come-latelys a full day's pay, we're going to get extra today. Not so fast. As in all of Jesus' parables, there's always a surprise twist at the end of the story. The owner of the vineyard pays the people who showed up early in the morning the exact same amount as those who started at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So what do you think Jesus is getting at here? This doesn't really commute or make sense to a modern mindset here in America, does it? Because we work hard. We live faithful lives, and we expect to be rewarded, right? But Jesus is getting at grace, and grace doesn't work that way. Grace, to use a scouting analogy, if I might for a second, is not like a merit badge that scouts go out and they work with a counselor and they learn new skills and they sign off on various tasks. And when they have completed that merit badge, they are rewarded with a nice patch to sew on their uniform. Grace is also not like a promotion that we get at work after proving ourselves consistently for many years and earning our employer's trust. We get promoted, right? You work hard, you get promoted. You put in your time, you deserve your rewards. But that's not the way grace is. Grace is not grace if you have to earn it. Grace is God's sheer mercy. Grace is God's undeserved favor shown to us in Jesus. Grace is not something that we earn or deserve. Grace is God's complete gift to you and to me. Now, if you're like me and you grew up thinking that you had to do something in order to be saved, then hearing the gospel for the first time truly is good news. I remember when I went to a Lutheran church for the first time outside of St. John's University. Heather and I had been researching whether or not we wanted to become Lutheran, so we looked at the various churches in the St. Cloud area, and we found this one called Bethlehem Lutheran Church. And I thought that was awesome. Any church named after the place where Jesus was born had to be a good place to go to worship, and it was. And here's why. The biggest part of it was the lay people. That was the first impression I got when we walked in the door. The lay people were there just like our greeters and our ushers, and they had a smile on their face, and they handed us a bulletin, and they welcomed us with a nice handshake. And we went into the sanctuary, and we sat down, and they had beautiful stained glass windows that let in a lot of sunlight, like we're blessed here in Trinity with. And that was all nice, but it wasn't life-changing until a female pastor got up in the pulpit to preach. Well, you can imagine my surprise being a good Catholic boy. There was a woman in collar, in vestments, standing in the pulpit, reading the gospel lesson and preaching God's word. And you can imagine my shock. Was this truly possible? Yep, there she was, all vested and ready to go in the pulpit. And after I got over my amazement at seeing something I'd never seen growing up in the Catholic Church, I settled in for the much more important part, which was to listen to what she had to say. And Pastor D. Peterson said this. She said that we don't have to go looking for God in our lives, that in Christ God comes to find us. And I started to well up with tears. and I started to get all choked up. In life, we don't have to go looking for God. In Christ, God comes looking for us. Here was my first real taste of grace. I didn't have to go looking for God. God had already found me in Jesus. I didn't have to somehow save myself with my good works. Jesus had already done that in my baptism. I didn't have to earn God's love. God already loved me more than I would ever know. And it felt like, honestly, a wall of love had just washed over me that day in worship. And you know what, brothers and sisters? That's what God's grace feels like. It's a wall of love that washes over you, fills you up so then you can go out into the world and share that love with others. What you receive as a gift, give as a gift. So what's God's grace like? It's like workers who start work at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and go out and work in the vineyard and end up getting paid the same that those that showed up early in the morning get paid. It may not make economic sense, but that's because grace is a gift. Grace is God's most precious gift that he gives to us in this life, and it makes all the difference in this world and the next. So today we proclaim that our Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And for that, all we can say is thanks be to God and amen.